Good to be back. I'm just so horny to pod. How you guys feeling?
Bring it back. It's crazy. Welcome to the Geeked Up Podcast, the one-stop shop for all things nerd-related. I'm your host for today, Roy, and I got Uzi and Spicer with me. Say what's up, Uzi.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Uzi, a.k.a. I used to hate RGB, and now my entire room looks like I'm in a neon vagina. What's up?
Uzi's also Gen Z, if you didn't know. shout out to Spicer. Say what's up to the people.
Yo, it's your boy Spice. I don't know what the fuck Uzi was trying to do right there, trying to steal my intro out this mother freaker. I know it's been a while, so I've been on the pod.
That's been my intro for like 6 years, bitch. Don't
relax,
try to do that.
Man, relax, all right? Freaking relax. What's up, everybody? It's your boy Spice, man. Happy to be back. Talk to everybody.
Yeah, with the introductions out the way, please make sure to like and subscribe if you enjoyed this video. Also, check out the audio version and leave 5 stars on that in a review. That would help us out. With that out the way, let's get into the nonsense of the week, where Yes Jules is being sued by Kanye for $8 million. So essentially what happened is Yes Jules has been on Kanye's sort of team. You know, he gets a new team every time he does a rollout. Right now he's being surrounded by Yes Jules, Ty Dolla $ign, Tyga apparently, and working with him, Milo Yiannopoulos as well. Doing his work, apparently Yes Jules violated her NDA multiple times, I guess, to a point where it's worth up to $8 million. And now we're here. You know, we've seen her on Twitter. It was really IG, really, and then all the posts from her story get to Twitter, but essentially of her talking shit, getting duped by a fake Milo account, getting fired by Milo as well. Of course, and now we're here just waiting for the aftermath to see if she's gonna, you know, have to get back on that OF. What do you guys think about this story?
I love seeing Kanye do this, because this is clearly just like he's suing her for $8 million just to, like, this is clearly just to bankrupt her, which I think is funny. I think it's just a hilarious way to use your wealth to just like completely impoverish somebody else. This is fun. It's a fun story. I like that. Good energy.
So do you think this is like part of the rollout? Because I also saw that. Like, this is, you know, Yes Jules is known for marketing skills.
I think that every time Kanye West goes out in public with his wife and it somehow gets like onto Twitter and Instagram and everything, I think all of it's marketing. I think everything Kanye does when he's out in public is marketing, because he doesn't have to do that. Like, he chooses to.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen him literally direct paparazzi and tell him which angles to get him of him of his wife. So yeah, good point. I mean, but like
I was gonna, what was the picture that Tess just put earlier where it's like they were out and like half her ass cheek is like just hanging out for no reason? It's like, hey, you're gonna tell me, oh, like that's an accident? Get the fuck out of here. Put your pants up.
Hey, that's fashion, Uzi. Come on, that's fashion. Come on, you know Kanye was like, you got that shit on today. Spicer.
Yes, sir.
You think this him suing Yes Jules means that Vultures 2 is gonna be better than Vultures 1.
Holy shit. You know what I'm saying? As a big fan of Vultures 1, I do think this is interesting with Vultures 2, because, you know what I'm saying, we know that Yes Jules did have a lot to do with the promotion for Vultures 1. And now she's like tweeting, fuck a NDA, sue me, which we all know you can't really do once you sign. So I don't fucking know, man. Maybe we'll get some Yes Jules bars, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying, maybe we'll kind of go from there. But honestly, with this guy, I mean, we don't even know. I just watched like an hour interview with him and with Big Boy and with him and Ty Dolla $ign. And you know what I'm saying? It was really just cool, insane to like kind of hear him like speaking these different views and different lights and stuff. So hopefully we'll get some shit that'll kind of add some more explanation. But yeah, I mean, this is like some, I don't know if it's typical Kanye shit, but it is a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I mean, this is, oh, actually, I don't know if he sues people. Kanye doesn't typically sue, but him being going viral when he feels like it, that is very Kanye. Like I said, like, I'm not sure about Vultures 2. I'm not sure if we discussed like the sound. We talked about the sound a little bit of what we thought it might sound like. Of course, this doesn't give us any sort of indication, but it did get leaked though, apparently. I think Yes Jules leaked the track list, actually. I think about it. Not sure if y'all saw the track list. But I did hear New Body is back on there, which is, you know, it's interesting to say the least. And apparently he got rid of Nicki Minaj and New Body and added Ice Spice.
And Doja Cat. It was like Cat.
Up to Ice Spice and Doja Cat. Whoever answered the DM first got to be on the song.
But hold on, Nicki Minaj and Ice Spice had a song together, right? I'm pretty sure they did have a song together. So yeah. I mean,
yes,
I won't necessarily.
And the barbs are already like, talking. Hate. They're like, that's. No man, the barbs did the science already.
Yeah.
So apparently, Nicki stopped liking Ice Spice's pictures back in since December. So.
Oh.
Come on.
Oh. Does she still follow her though? I think that's like the big thing. Once someone unfollows somebody, it's like, oh shit, they really don't fuck with them now.
Yeah, but you know, that's too big of a deal. You know, you can't just unfollow anybody, you know. You get the streets talking if you unfollow somebody. But all right, let's go ahead and move on. Let's shift gears, you know. Hopefully Vultures 2 comes out. And hopefully it's actually good. And yes, Jules. Good luck on the lawsuit.
Good luck on the lawsuit. Hey, listen, if she got a, she could probably make that OnlyFans money to recoup that. She'll be all right.
Hey,
she'll be all right.
Might be time for some hardcore. You never know. Hardcore. Let's see here. For the next topic, we got you know, some people's favorite streamer. You know, mainly Abdul and Tessus. At least for a year. Destiny was recently on the Lex Friedman podcast with a bunch of like actual experts about Israel and Palestine.
Yeah, academics.
Actual academics, people that have spent, you know, decades studying the conflict. I would have their names up, but we just decided to throw this up at the last second. So
yeah,
we're just going to run into this.
Yeah, so I'll run with it a little bit. So he was on the podcast with Lex Friedman. Lex Friedman decided to host, I think it was 4 hours. It's like a 4 hour long debate podcast with on one side, on the pro-Israel side, basically was Destiny and a guy named Benny Morris, who's basically like an Israel propagandist, like, you know, apologist kind of guy. And then on the other side was Norm Finkelstein and this guy named Muin. I forget what his last name is or what it, like that might be his last name. But they were the pro, basically, Palestine side. I don't really know anything about the other two guys, Benny Morris or the Muin guy. But Norm Finkelstein, he's an academic who's been talking about the Israel-Palestine issue for like literally decades. He's, you know, given lectures about it, has books, academic papers, all that kind of stuff. And so they had a 4 hour debate about it. And the like basically nothing as far as like it's the same Israel-Palestine debate that's been happening for not only the past like, you know, 4 months since October 7th and everything, where the pro-Israel side isn't going to move on what they think and the pro-Palestine side isn't going to move on what they think. And so nothing actually gets resolved. But the best part was just watching Norm Finkelstein just annihilate fucking Destiny by calling him an idiot, like an imbecile, moron. Your idiocy is hard to watch. Like, it's just, it was amazing. There's like clips that people put together of him just roasting this dude to the point where Benny Morris, the Destiny partner in the debate, he's laughing at Norm cooking his partner. It was amazing to watch because I've never really liked Destiny. He always just has looked like a herb and like weird to me. Like, why do people listen to this guy and take him seriously? Like, I just never have got it. Also, when I did a little bit of research, he's like a dropout from the University of Nebraska and was like a janitor. And then he like got into streaming. And I was like, I get it. I shouldn't take shots at him for that. But like, I'm not like compelled to like listen to your academic arguments when I'm like, guy dropped out from the University of Nebraska was too hard. Like, all right. Well, like, I'm just not taking you that seriously when your academic like bona fides aren't really there. But yeah, he just got destroyed because it was three actual academics who've done tons of research, have history, have knowledge, And it very much seems like Destiny like reads Wikipedia articles and like Twitter, and that's where he gets the majority of his information and has like bro debate arguments where it's like, well, tell me about this. I'm gonna talk really fast and that's gonna try to make me sound smart. No, you don't. You sound like a fucking, you sound like you're a 7-year-old on Adderall. Like, calm down, try to make a coherent point. And anytime he does, didn't sound too great. So for me, I just watched that. I didn't watch no 4-hour debate, but I watched Norm cook the shit out of this guy, and I found it wildly entertaining.
Honestly, you didn't miss out. Like, I watched a six hour reaction from Hassan. I think I watched like 3 hours, or is it 4 or 5 hours? No, five. It was 5 hours, and I watched like 3 hours. But like, watching the whole thing and seeing it build up, because I was actually like, all right, let me try and learn, like actually trying to figure out what's going on in the conflict, even though from everything I'm hearing, it's like, it's common sense. Like, it's common sense that like we know which side is, or which side we believe is the aggressor in this conflict, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, especially from what I saw, like, yeah, like to your point, like they were like, Finkelstein was literally like breaking down the argument, like going from taking Benny's material, his own actual documented, like what he actually, his own book,
yeah,
and then breaking the argument down from there. And then, like you said, it felt like a large part of these, like the 3 hours I saw, Destiny was sitting there by himself, like not even in the conversation, because he could not keep up. Like, I know you apparently did thousands of hours of research within the last month or something preparing for this debate, but it did not look like you prepared. Like, he was very much so outclassed, to the point where, like you said, when Finkelstein started, you know, he hit him with the insults, but then he also called him Mr. Bocelli. Mr. Bonelli.
Mr. Bonelli. Mr. Borelli.
Calling this nigga the wrong name for literally hours on end. And I swear to God, every single time he did it, it got funnier and funnier, bro. So you're wondering why I would sit there and watch that whole thing. It was for that entertainment, dog. It was hilarious. And like you said, you don't often get to see Destiny get shitted on like that, because even when he loses a debate, he still kind of wins typically. But in this one, completely got outclassed, got embarrassed. Yeah, just no more debates, no more big debates with academics, Destiny. Don't do that. Yeah,
I watched like a 20-minute clip from like Lex's thing today, and it's like, you know, you're really losing in a debate when he's like, he was basically being like, well, you have all these, what are the metrics for starvation and shit? I'm like, bro, what are you doing right now? Like, yeah, are you kidding me? He's like, there's like 5 or 6 UN reports and like the Human Rights Act. They're all reporting that people are dying of starvation. But what are the metrics of the starvation statistics? Bruh, what are we doing?
The straight debate, bro. Like, y'all niggas ain't got no feelings. Ain't got no heart, no empathy. Just literally just trying to win the argument. It's like, no, you're not, bro. No. So, yeah. Destiny's been trying to defend himself by digging into Finkelstein's past on Twitter. Finkelstein's done some racist ass shit. Probably has. Okay. He may have called some people some monkeys. Allegedly. And put bananas at their door. But you still lost the debate.
Jesus Christ.
You still lost the debate.
I'm
sorry. All right. And I know that's all you care about.
And real quick, just to like not play Destiny defense, or like, just like, didn't Destiny like early this week, and I don't know any of the full story, but didn't he try to like shame a girl who was talking about like sexual assault allegations or something? So yes. Like, Destiny, you literally did some fuck shit like this week, so I don't think you need to be digging into people's other stuff when you got your own other stuff to deal with. And like, just to defend him for like a little second, I don't think all of his opinions are stupid. There's times where I've heard him like, yeah, I agree with that opinion or whatever. But whenever he gets into like these kind of topics where it's like, bro, you're out of your depth. Like, this is not the kind of, like, you should not, like, he at one point was like, we've probably read like 10,000, like 3 of them. He was even saying the Benny Morris guy. He's like, him, my partner, me, we've read like 10,000 books. You're out here reading Tweetfy articles. Shut the fuck up. Like, what are you talking about? Stop.
And then he shut the fuck up.
It's crazy. Know,
shout out to Destiny. Shout out to Finkelstein. Shout out to
Stay in your lane, though, dog.
Stay in your lane. Hey, dunk on the easy dunks, man. Get the red pillars out the way.
Get
the Nazis out the way. That's easy. That's easy.
Fresh
money.
And Fit are still doing stuff. Go on their podcast. Shit on them.
Easy. They just got shitted on by H3. Easy. All right, moving on to our next internet culture topic. Roy and Maul are back in the news, but more so because of how well they've been doing as of late. Of course, we have the recent controversy of Maul saying that he would never invite one or want to ask somebody to be on their podcast, which is, you know, asinine. but Spicer, tell us how the pod is doing. You're the only person that actually keeps up with it besides, you know, the rest of us doing clips and viral moments.
Yeah, man. So, as we all know, I'm not one of the, like, the original, like, Joe Budden podcast listeners, but when they were going through that turmoil, I was like, you know what? Let me find a new podcast to listen to. So for, like, the past couple of years or whatever, I have been listening to the new Rory and Maul podcast. And during that time, I do think it has been very up and down as far as the content, them finding their quote unquote identity outside of what, you know, originally what caused them to break up and get their own show. And of course, we all know that this year, you know, with the people that have been following, this has been a very interesting start of the year for them. We had the fight between, you know, co-hosts. We had the fight between Julian and Eden, which led to some changes to happen between them. We have, you know, we have Julian, who's becoming more of like a B mic on certain episodes and stuff. And we also have the chemistry between Rory and Maul also starting to get better with also incorporating Damaris. And overall, in my opinion, I've been very pleased with the podcast. I'm very pleased with their flow, their content, their jokes that they've been making and things of that nature. So overall, I am very pleased with the podcast. Now, with that said, over the past few weeks, with a lot of the like kind of like Trump stuff happening, with like him having the shoes and like the rallies and like all this other shit going on, we're starting to get back the MAGA Maul, and you know what I'm saying, some of these you know, more, as people will say on Reddit, like misogynistic views or right-winged views or right-wing views, and it's kind of sort of throwing off the podcast listeners. And I've just seen, like, between like the past few weeks, like the Reddit has turned from very like, oh man, this is a great start of the year for the pod, like I'm really loving it, to fuck Maul and fuck his views and he's so bland and he's not shit and I don't know why he's on the pod, he's so spoiled and everything like that. Like, you're really just seeing like the shit flip. And I just think it's kind of interesting with that, to kind of like start so high. And then with things as far as like political shit, where like you don't really necessarily want to hear them talk about, because one thing that I think that the Rory and Maul podcast can do is they can kind of linger on their pod topics. Like, it is kind of hard to sway Maul to think a certain way, because at times he can be very black and white in his views, or, you know, he kind of does show his age, that, you know, he is a lot older than, you know what I'm saying, some of his castmates on there. But yeah, man, overall, I really do like the show, but I do just think it's kind of interesting how when the fans don't want to necessarily hear you talk about certain shit, or when they want to hear you just kind of just breeze over stuff and not try and just, you know what I'm saying, fill up so much within a certain topic, and you're not really necessarily saying shit. You're just more so just kind of like screaming at the audience about your view and how you're just so gung-ho in this view. I just think it's kind of interesting how that tide is kind of is kind of turning with them, and people are coming up with like conspiracy theories and like all this other shit about changing the direction and everything. And I just think it's interesting.
Wait, so he really bought the shoes? He actually paid the $400 for the Trump shoes?
So he said he's not buying his shoes. He said he's not buying his shoes, but if he happened to, you know what I'm saying, wake up with them, you know what I'm saying, so I give it him
for him. Yeah, that's wild.
He's very happy.
He did Trump shoes.
Yeah. Probably needs a sign.
They're on my wish list.
Right. Amazon wish list. Yeah, if I have to see another why I'm leaving the Rory and Maul subreddit and podcast posts again show up on my Reddit feed, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, and I understand what you're saying, like, especially for Rory and Maul, I feel like Rory, actually I think both of them really have like a big fan base when it comes to women, so it's interesting to see them like kind of like try and, like I said, implement Julian Moore, which then brings apparently this frat boy humor. I don't know. I don't listen to Pod that much. I listened to the episode that I was screaming in my car about. But to try and bring that, and then, like you said, the MAGA mall shit, which is funny, I guess, to a certain extent, but then don't kill the joke too much. How that can cause friction with your, like, current audience. And, like, not to say that's a bad thing. You know, sometimes you got to realize where, you know, what's true to yourself and your content. Like, all right, like, this is where we're going to go. This is a route. We were just talking about Destiny. Destiny was not a liberal in the past, you know. He was, like, a progressive and then became a liberal. And then when he did that, he excised all of his community and made sure he excised them. But he's good enough to build that community back up. Rory and Maul kind of, like, were given an audience in a way, you know. I mean, they're talented, you know, they got fans, but, like, it's kind of like a perfect situation for them even to get the Pod in the first place, to even get this audience. And that's kind of why everybody's so concerned about them in the first place. Like, damn, are y'all gonna be able to keep this up? Like, do you love potting? Like, we've heard, Roy said he didn't say it, but I'm pretty sure this nigga said he did not like podcasting. And we know Maul that said he doesn't like podcasting. And, like, basically, I'm doing this to get a check. So, I don't know. Like, how strong or how willing are you to change, let's say, your Pod structure, the topics you're doing, to, you know, to satisfy the audience? Or do you say, like, all right, we know what we're doing, even though technically, do you really?
I was going to say, like, so if they're saying that they actually don't, well, at least from what you're saying, because I'm really not very familiar. So if they don't, like, actually maybe enjoy podcasting or don't want to do it long term or whatever, have they talked about, like, branching out and doing other stuff, or have they actually tried to do other stuff? Does anybody know what else they want to actually do?
Well, we do have Roy. He did drop out. He did drop a album last year. He did drop he did drop like a R&B kind of kind of album, which I thought was pretty cool. And so that was pretty decent. Like, what Maul does, I'm not really too sure. I think the mayor does, like, promotions, and like Julian, he seems like, you know, saying he kind of works on the back end with, like, music, and he seems like he knows a decent amount of people. And I thought it was interesting when Roy brings up Julian, because with them adding him to the show, there is that frat boy kind of humor. And it was a little weird at first, because with Rory and Maul, like, you know what I'm saying, it's very, I hate to say this word, it's very urban demographic, as I would, like, kind of say. I don't really know what to fucking say right there. But when you do bring that frat boy kind of shit, like, there are different views that are going to happen. And, you know what I'm saying, it's weird, because they kind of use Julian as kind of like, or Maul especially, because Maul doesn't really see a lot of the views that Julian has, and it's kind of like a pick on type of thing. But with this shit, it's like Julian does have that humor that is catering to like a different demographic. And, you know what I'm saying, people are starting to ask, like, yo, is Julian, like, worth being, like, a C mic, quote unquote, or should he be higher up as far as, like, you know what I'm saying, should he be picking topics, or should he have more involvement as far as, like, being on the show and stuff? And people kind of pick him apart too, because when it comes to that frat boy shit, you know what I'm saying, they say that I'm not gonna say it. It's kind of fucked up. I don't want to cook Julian on.
You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to talk about his biracialness and, like, how he's confused about his identity.
Like, what they say is, like, they call this nigga weird as shit because, you know what I'm saying, we all know that Julian has a love for, like, you know what I'm saying, for white girls, but he also has a distaste for, like, the white man. So, like, they call it, like, some
juxtaposition. Bro,
like, this Reddit comment just, like, completely, like, obliterated him, and I was like, holy fuck. But I see it, but I do like what he brings to the show, you know what I'm saying? But I think it is very interesting, because, like, what Roy's saying, you are starting to see more and more of those posts, like, all right, man, this is my last week listening to this shit. And then the next post is like, man, shut the fuck up, y'all are sensitive, and y'all wanted this humor and everything like that. It's kind of like that edgy humor where, you know what I'm saying, it just goes on for too long. You're just like,
all right. Well, have they talked about, like, from adding him, do they actually have, like, a new, like, are they seeing, like, a spike in, like, a new demographic of people watching their thing?
I mean, Spicer said it himself. He said, well, I think, actually, I just watched Minutes Material. They said it. But they said, yeah, the Pod's been more successful since Julian's been more involved. But, I mean, what does that really mean, though? You know what I'm saying? Who are those fans? Because Roy and Maul have a... It's all about true. The fans that are willing to spend money on you, right? And Rory Mullahad has a ton of those people. Like a ton. They're able to tour like with like up to 50K views on a pod. You know what I'm saying? Like they're able to tour off that. So they have a very loyal fan base. So I mean it's something to consider. Like, do I want to, you know what I'm saying, feed the base or do I try and switch it up? I'm not sure. I'll be looking out though. I'm definitely paying attention. Like I said, I tried listening to that episode where Maul said that he will never go on another man's podcast or he won't ask to be on another man's podcast. But like I said, I was listening to that shit and I was screaming in my car, bro. That was the craziest shit I ever heard in my life. But
they were really trying to explain it to him too. Like, bro, like, why are you thinking like this? But like I was saying before, like he's so like set in his ways, bro. And it's like,
Maul is like Joe's old friend. Too cool. Yeah. He's 40 years old. Like he's got a bad rep for a lot of people at this point. Rory, I'm a fan of Rory. I like Rory. Rory's a good potter. He's a good businessman and he works hard. Like there's nothing to complain about. But Maul and Alien, that's the guy you gotta look out for. But let's go ahead and move on to our next topic.
Speaking of podcasting,
LeBron James and JJ Redick teamed up to create an actual basketball podcast, not like a basketball drama podcast or a podcast where we talk about like trades and stuff, like a legit let's talk about the nuances of basketball. I watched most of the first episode, saw shit ton of clips on Twitter today. Pretty good, pretty interesting. Obviously they're missing the visuals, but it's dope to hear people like actually break down basketball from like we were talking about earlier in the group chat, like from the play design to the concepts on the court. And of course you got JJ Redick, who's obviously a star in the business at this point.
Oh yeah, I mean I'm not like an avid watcher of the old man of the three, but like I've definitely seen a lot of clips of it and like any of the bigger interviews, like I've seen like his Kevin Durant interview when that dropped, I watched that whole thing, and like some of the Chris Paul ones or whatever. But like I've always liked JJ Redick's actual, like he is basketball focused. Even when people were going at him a couple weeks ago about what he said about Doc Rivers, I'm like, all the things that people were saying were his tone of saying it, nobody was saying he was wrong. The stuff he was saying about Doc Rivers as far as like the accountability and stuff, you can say his tone or whatever was wrong about it, but I'm like, he kind of has a point when it's like you were with the Clippers and you didn't get that done there, then you went to the Sixers, didn't get it done there, now you're here and they brought you in to like put this team over the top, and now you're saying, oh, our guys aren't giving effort, we didn't show up, blah blah blah. It's like, well, you're the one who was supposed to come in and fix that, dog. Like, this is your job, so it's kind of weird that you're putting it on them. So that was more of his point. Nobody really came at him for that point. They were more saying the tone of it wasn't right. But I always think, like, I think it's going to be a good podcast. It's going to do numbers. It's going to be really popular just because it's LeBron James doing a podcast. Like, he's joined that world. I think the shop and everything, that stuff is still, like, different because it was, like, HBO and, like, a bunch of celebrities on it. It's a whole thing. If he's just straight up going to – did they say this is going to be, like, a weekly thing?
So they were talking about, it kind of felt like weekly, and that's really my second question about this podcast. It's like you said, the idea of it is amazing, right? You get LeBron James, biggest star in the basketball world, also very articulate, very smart. Mm-hmm. You get JJ Redick, very articulate, very smart. We already know, we've seen him, we know he's good at this media shit. This is gonna work. Mm-hmm. But it's LeBron James, dog.
It's LeBron James.
This man got some shit going on. They talked about we recorded two episodes today. Like, they already recorded two episodes. So that tells me, like, we got to worry about. And the first episode is only 40 minutes long, 43 minutes. Yeah. Like you're going to have to. It's not bad, but it's like, how much are we really going to get? Like, how much can they actually keep up? Like you said, it was a weekly thing. Can LeBron keep up with that? Like,
here's the thing. And this is one of the points where I 100% don't think this, but I know that this is going to happen. If the Lakers either go into the play-in tournament or they get past it and go into the playoffs and they lose or whatever, and LeBron doesn't play out of his mind, he could even average like 25, 8-8 or something. He could be playing great. You're going to have dickheads like Skip Bayless who are going to be like, it's because he was doing that podcast. He wasn't focused. He wasn't locked in. You're going to have stupid people like that who are going to somehow say, because he was doing this, that he didn't play up to his potential, which is dumb and it's not true, because they were saying the same shit about like Travis Kelce with his thing like last season when the Chiefs weren't playing good. Motherfucker went and won a Super Bowl, but like they were saying that kind of stuff. Oh, Taylor Swift, blah, blah. It's like LeBron James has a thousand other things that are going on, and I don't think this is gonna like cause any kind of actual like problem with his game or focus or anything, because he's been doing this for the better part of 20 years. It's not like he's only been doing basketball. He's been doing so much other stuff for 20 years. So it's like, this isn't going to actually affect his play on the court or anything, but people are going to say it will if he doesn't like win a championship or go deep into the playoffs or whatever. So I think that's just like one of the things he's got to be ready for.
And I kind of like want to think of it as like, I hope, well, of course he doesn't need it, but I hope I'm thinking that this isn't like a monetary thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not doing this for money. Hopefully he's doing this to like outlet in some way, get some shit out while also like interacting with fans and everything like that. Because, you know what I'm saying? I don't really know how like fan interaction with NBA players is happening now. You know what I'm saying? Unless like, you know what I'm saying, you get some courtside seats and LeBron happens to sit next to you or some shit like that. I don't really know if like NBA players are doing like a whole bunch of events and stuff like that now. So, you know what I'm saying? This will be a good interaction for fans.
See, that's the thing though. Like, this is for us.
Yeah.
But it's for the culture. It's like, it's to change me. This is what me and Uzi were talking about earlier in the group chat. It's like, people always complain about how basketball is talked about, right? Like, you go watch football, you can see, like, from any sort of, you go from the game to fucking NFL Live, not First Take, but like a couple of different other shows, like they're breaking plays down. They're breaking formations down.
They're actually, yeah, they're talking about defensive scheming. They're talking about how offenses are run now and what you need to work. Like, they actually talk about the game itself, whereas the most annoying shit in the world, if you watch First Take or any of those shows, is, well, where does this guy rank all time? Well, this guy, how would this guy play in this era? Like, you have this, like, it's these dumb, like at this point, nonsense conversations, because it's like, there's no actual way to prove this shit. There's no actual, like, you have people who are still, I saw a dude who made like a 25-minute hate video about when LeBron broke the 40K thing. And he was like, actually, he's not that impressive because like 37% of his shots are within 5 feet. So actually, it's not even that. It's the wildest hating I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, I'm not the biggest LeBron fan, but the man did something that has never been done in basketball. And you still have people who are like, well, I got to find a way to hate on it because I'm not going to actually talk about the actual basketball stuff. I got to make a hot take or have some stupid like drama video. And it's annoying to watch at a certain point, especially because you see like, It gets attention. That's like the annoying part, is it works. You had Skip Bayless saying that, oh, Anthony Edwards block where his head hit the fucking rim, it's an easy block. It's like, why are we letting this man talk? Why are we letting him talk? He just said that the guy who his head hit the rim on a chase down block, it's an easy block. It's like, why are we letting this man on television? What are we doing?
Shout out to Skip Bayless.
Oh my God.
I think that's about it for this topic. I mean, shout out to LeBron. Shout out to JJ Redick.
LeBron, shout out JJ Redick. Shout out that Blue Chew mid-roll money. Go ahead, LeBron.
Yeah, go ahead, LeBron. Get your little ad money. You know what I'm saying? Get your little Blue Chew. Like I said, we will see how long this lasts. Maybe we'll revisit this down the road. But yeah, shout out to them. All right.
And just to say, just one last point on that. LeBron is like actually good on podcasts too. I watched him on like Road Tripping and shit with like Richard Jefferson. He's good. Like, he did it on The Shop and everything too, but like, he's good at like just a continuous like stream of conscious. Like, he's good at this too. It's fucking annoying.
It's annoying, bro. He's good at everything, man. He's going to be a good owner, be a good coach.
He's only practicing for fucking 19 years.
No, that's the thing about it. That's why athletes are so good about it, because they're always talking in front of a camera. Media training, bro. It's a skill right there. Our last topic is going to deal with the new Nickelodeon doc. What is it called? Quiet on Set. That
Dark
just
Side
dropped.
Kids TV.
So it just dropped. I believe it's like a couple episodes already out right now. I'm gonna be honest with you, I haven't watched it. I'm familiar with the stories though. Essentially, one of the first episodes has to deal with Drake from Drake and Josh. You know, detailing his own essentially sexual abuse and then breaking that down, as well as like just talking about like the grossness of the Nickelodeon set, which we all heard about, like we've seen throughout the years, the feet stuff. But yeah, does anybody, you know, seen any clips, like have any thoughts? Because this is gonna come out, and like this is like, these are basically kids that, you know, guys that are our age, like this is our generation.
Like we kind of grew up with this shit.
Like it could have been you on them shows, you never know. What y'all think?
Yeah, so I haven't seen the actual documentary or whatever, but yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen the documentary, but I've seen the YouTube like video essays for the past like 4 or 5 years, so I know the stories. I think it's a wild thing that like we just watched all that and we're like, we're children and just like oblivious to all of it. It's like it was very well hidden, because I would have never known. But like, I wonder if, have you ever went back and like watched any Drake and Josh or like fucking, I think it was like All That, and he had a bunch of shows on Nickelodeon at the time, so it could be like all of them. Is there actually anything that ever stands out like on camera? Because I don't remember anything like
on camera.
It was just all off.
I mean, some people were bringing up just the amount of times that Drake was making out with chicks.
That's a lot.
That shit used to blow me so much. You know? I fucking love that show, but like he would just walk into a room and a girl would just be like, "You want to make out?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, baby." And then it'll just like kind of be like that. And it was like, but that was by far like maybe like the only sexual shit in the show. Just Drake just getting all the pussy all the time, and Josh just being like Josh.
But I mean, go ahead.
No, but like, you know what I'm saying? That would be like a Nickelodeon show that I would watch now, or even I just went through the whole like Kenan and Kel shit. Like there was one Kenan and Kel episode where like he thought like the teacher had a crush on him, and they like went through like this whole like fantasy of like him like almost like about to hook up with the teacher in the classroom and shit. Like, so there are some weird shits like that.
Yeah, that's illegal. That's definitely illegal.
Yeah, that was a little, I was like, oh fuck, this is kind of weird. But yeah, I'm the third person that's gonna say I did not see the documentary as
well. Because like you don't just, really just like what?
Are it's we scared tough. To watch it?
No, like, I mean we watch the R. Kelly doc. You know what I'm saying? We watch that. This is just, first off, I'm seeing so much promotion, but I'm not seeing anywhere to actually watch it. Like I'm like, is this Lifetime? Is this?
It's on ID. So you know that random ass channel where they show like the craziest serial killers and like
Practical Jokers.
It's Practical Jokers.
Like, so I'm trying to make sure I get this man's name right, to be honest. It's Dan Schneider, right?
Dan Schneider.
Yeah. Is Schneider the one that was accused of doing all the crazy shit?
Yeah.
Schneider was like the overlord, but I'm like, I could have swore it was somebody else that was doing the crazy shit to Drake.
Well, I don't know if it was. Maybe there was somebody else, but like I know he was the main one, because he was the one who they were talking about as far as like auditions. He would have like the little kids come in and be like, "Okay, cool, take your shoes off." Like, whoa, whoa, why? Like, big, no, your guy. Parents can leave. You can just stay here for like 6 hours with me. It's like, hey. It's very creepy.
Very big feet guy. As you all know, they say he had so much power that he was able to make the Nickelodeon logo a foot.
It kind of looks like a bare foot.
Foot pool. So a bunch of feet stuff. Involving like young Ariana Grande, Amanda Bynes, and all that stuff.
And
it's kind of crazy, son, if you think about it, because like back then, like if you were on like the early Nickelodeon shit like that, like if you were on one show, you weren't just on that one show.
No,
you were on four to five different other ones, and like doing skits and doing actual fucking acting and shit like that.
There were crossover episodes where Kenan and Kel were meeting up with Drake and Josh or whatever the fuck. I don't know, but like that was a whole fucking.
That's like best worst episodes right there. Another person that you know is involved with the abuse, these allegations, is Amanda Bynes. That's the one where everybody's like, shoot, I'm like, everyone does, we don't even know.
It was one of the first ones that I remember seeing where I was like, yo,
like she got fucked up.
Because I mean, if I remember correctly, she was the only one who had like a dedicated her own show. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't the
only
it was
one for
a
show.
It was All That and Kenan and Kel, Drake and Josh, whatever, but those were all like sitcom or like, you know, all that was like an SNL type whatever show. But the Amanda Show was literally just her. That was her whole thing. So what the fuck she had to get subjected to keep that shit going. Ooh.
Yeah, man. Crazy.
And then she went crazy, like fucking in her 20s and shit. Ooh.
The mugshots were, whoa.
Well, I mean, we hear about this from child actors, you know. This is the name of the game right here. Unfortunately, it's sad as fuck, but like, hopefully the environment's better. This is kind of a terrible segue, but some of the people that thought their environment wasn't bad at all was Ned's Declassified cast, actually. They were on Twitter or IG story, you know, yapping it up, laughing, apparently, that our set wasn't like that. Yeah. So I don't know if you guys would ever like come out and say some crazy shit when you're like coworkers are like on the other side of the building, you know, the other side of the state, like, hey bro, it's fucking shit
fucking
going
on this side.
We were fucking consensually on this side. I don't know about y'all.
Mose was getting her back blown out in the fucking back of the center.
Consensually, apparently.
Consensually. It was all consensual.
So we ain't had those issues, so I don't know. I felt like that was a little out of place, you know what I'm saying? You know, I expect better out of you, Ned. You know what I'm saying?
My man Ned put a baby in that.
Allegedly, apparently.
His eyes look so cooked.
Didn't they say they're pregnant or whatever? She pregnant?
I don't know if that was true, bro.
They made up a pregnancy for the podcast.
Are you
news?
Surprised?
Crazy.
You know what? I was talking so much shit about their pod too last year. I can't even say nothing. But I'm saying them, I can't say something because I was saying like this pod is trash, and y'all only doing it because y'all ain't got no jobs, and that's essentially what Ned be talking about the entire time. Like, I gotta do this pod. That's not what I want to do.
That's what they all do. Didn't the I'm pretty sure The Office has like two separate like post office pods with like people from the cast. Yeah, they're not even the same pod. It's like two different groups of former cast members.
That's a video essay you need to see because there's actually a parent company that owns all of these, and they set them all up.
What?
Yes.
Oh my god! It's the Office Podcast Network.
Not just an Office podcast, but like all the Nickelodeon ones, so like House Moms one, or whatever the fuck ever show watched that you ever wanted to get just a little bit more info
World
on.
Podcast.
There's probably a Boy Meets World podcast with just
I've seen Topanga on pods.
Yeah, but it won't be the main person.
Nah.
That's why I said in the class.
That was Eric and
niggas is broke as
Sean,
fuck. It's the main cast. It's on the podcast.
It's Ned. They don't have you don't got Neds on any of the other podcasts. They got Ned though.
No, you got the main niggas.
That's
so
crazy.
But yeah, shout out to them too. You know what I'm
saying? Shout out to them, man.
I hope your podcast does well. Get your pod money. You know, Ned, if you're gonna be a dad in 2024, you know, you gotta act right. Can't be laughing at people's abuse. Even though you didn't get abused. Anyways, you got something?
I was gonna throw in one other, like, it's a general culture topic. I don't think that y'all have ever covered it. Who y'all got in this Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight that's gonna happen in like 2 weeks?
It's in 2 weeks,
like July. I think it's in July. They started training for it now, and I've been seeing Mike Tyson training videos on my Instagram.
Yeah,
I had Jake Paul, like, I was like, he's like old and stuff. Mike Tyson looks like he's gonna kill this guy. Tyson looks amazing. Like, he's hitting the bag like crazy. I think Mike Tyson has been on the roids for like at least 5-6 years. I think Mike has been back on the juice. I'm not like, because you got to think about it. These things aren't sanctioned, like, you know what I mean? They're not like professional official fights, so they can do all the juice they want. So I think Mike Tyson is going to be roided to the gills by the time July comes around, and I think he might kill Jake Paul. I think this might end Jake Paul's boxing career.
I mean, if he doesn't kill him, then I mean, like, we obviously know this shit is rigged or like some shit like that. But these are like kind of like the same videos we were seeing like when he was supposed to fight Roy Jones. We were like, oh fuck, Roy Jones.
No, I saw the Roy Jones videos. These are different. These are different than the Roy Jones videos. These are different. These are different. You know how I know these are different? Mike looks his body looks younger. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Again, I'm telling you, he's on the juice. Like, 100% he's on the juice.
He's going to have to be on some good juice. He don't need steroids.
He's 57 years old.
He needs some HGH. Going to need that HGH, bro. Because what I'm hearing is, so I saw one of those clips, and right underneath it, somebody was like, hey, bro, like, Mike dropped another like one of these clips last time. He said he was in the bed for 2 weeks. So we'll see. He's like, we'll see. We'll but see, yeah. If you got that HGH, you know, my thing is like, Jake is going to have to last. If that's the Mike you fight, you're going to have to last a round and a half at least. Like a that's round true. And a half, 2 rounds yeah. of like possible semi prime, you know, Mike Tyson. Which that's just scary. Yeah. That's scary. But so scary. Jake Paul's that's a fighter. So Jake Paul is a fighter, people. He is a fighter.
He's a big dude. He's bigger than Mike. Like you know what I mean? Like again, my biggest thing has always been, I think the thing that has allowed Jake to always like do well is one that he fights older guys or guys who aren't actually technically proficient in boxing. This is the first like technically Mike Tyson not only is power, but he's technically just a very good fighter. And if like you combine the technical ability with him being back on the juice and he's able to last like 3 rounds, like he could easily knock Jake Paul out. I could easily see that happening. So this is the first Jake Paul fight I'm actually probably going to go out and watch, like legitimately.
I don't think it does anything for either's legacy. I'm not happy to see Mike Tyson do this fight personally, but you know, if we get to see Jake Paul, we can get rocking. I mean, fuck it. But I mean, the Pauls really haven't been that like popular for real within like the past, like I don't know, like year, like maybe like since their last fight, like they just fought like maybe like 2 weeks ago.
No, they're still popping.
Jake Paul isn't popping as much, but Logan is. Logan's got Prime and WWE.
His podcast Prime. He's doing WWE.
Yeah, he does do the Logan's WWE doing numbers. He does do the WWE shit, but
yeah, I'm so
it's weird. So
as a you know somewhat of a Paul fan, you know I'm kind of scared. Not gonna lie,
I respect the hustle. Yeah.
Jake was on the couch talking to his dad, talking about I'm gonna fight Mike Tyson. His dad's like, you're crazy. Like he's like, he looked nervous. He didn't look like he was like psyched. He's looking like. Either this might be his exit plan out of boxing if he loses, like get one big ass box bag. You know what I'm saying? Because this is gonna fuck you up. Like even if this is like an exhibition, this is still gonna fuck you up. You know what I'm saying? Your credibility, especially after you just lost an old boy from UK, Tommy Fury. So
yeah,
I mean like
is Tyson wearing headgear and shit?
No, I think they did say headgear.
Okay. They're wearing headgear in the fight?
I think they said headgear. It's an exhibition.
This motherfucker's 57. He's
57.
But wasn't the exhibition with Tommy Fury? They didn't wear headgear in that, did they?
No, I thought that was a real fight.
Oh.
Was that a real fight? I feel like he has a loss on his record now.
Yeah, he does. He definitely has a loss on his record now.
But anyways. Well, you guys got anything else besides that? You know, what's in your mind? Is there any like burning questions that you would like to ask, you know, two of your best friends in the world?
Fucking, I want to say a big freak you to 2K. You know what I'm saying? I picked up Ghost of Tsushima again, and I feel overwhelmed with how fucking long this game is, bro. Like, there's so much to do.
Ghost of Tsushima?
Really?
Yeah, son.
You mean the main story or when you go to the other island?
Side quest and like going to different lands and all this other shit. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like this shit ain't gonna never end, bro. Like, I feel like I have like 30 hours into the game and like I'm pretty decent, but it's just like, son, it's just overwhelming.
Are you decent though? You playing on normal?
Are you decent?
I'm playing on normal.
Come on, son. What do you think I'm playing on? I'm fucking 30 years old. I'm not playing on fucking hardest difficulty out here. I want to at least have some fun in the game. I'll still be getting caught.
I literally tell myself that too. Like, nigga, who are you trying to prove? Like, sit your ass down. You
might as well put the tutorial on. Too, and I was like, fuck. I've heard so much bad shit about this game. Like,
yeah, I downloaded Sifu too. I was feeling myself when I started up Sifu, and I was like, nah, I feel like doing this. It's too much. Abdul, you got it, bro. You're younger.
Yeah, I was like,
you're younger, you know?
You explained it.
Young Bucks.
I played Sifu for about an hour and a half, and I was already the old man. I was like, I'm good. I'm
off. It's like, nah, I'm straight. I don't think I got anything. You got anything, Uzi?
Are we doing? I'm sorry, I haven't watched.
It's not under the bridge. What's on your mind?
What's on my mind? What's on my mind is
there's another one of your
start off your intro.
I know how you start off your intro now. You always ask like one of those hypothetical weird questions. You always
I didn't give the like nice little runaway for that though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I just threw him in.
That's fine. No, I'm not gonna blame Murray. I would say, what is like a show? Because I'm trying to watch. I'm watching like Shogun, but there's no other. What's a big show right now that you're watching that not really popular? Doesn't have to be new. Doesn't have to be old. But like that you're very into right now or trying to catch up on. I'll give you mine. I just rewatched all of the Dragon Ball Z Abridged series on YouTube.
Oh, that's great.
I don't know why I just did that. I know why I did that, because Akira Toriyama died like 2 weeks ago. So I was like,
damn, that was my joke to enter the pod. Damn. I was going to say the reason why we haven't recorded is because niggas were so sad about Akira Toriyama dying.
It's true. That's why so many people are missing from the cast. I was sad. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's my guy.
That was a rough week in general, bro. I was, yeah, that was showing a spirit right there. Right now I'm watching Mr. and Mrs. Smith with the lady, you know what I'm saying? That is good show, man. Like every time I'm like, I try and we've taken us like 4 weeks to try and get through this shit, but every time I'm watching, I'm like, yo, the writing's good, but it's like really
good.
The acting's good.
Production's good. The acting's good. They go to all these different locations.
It looks amazing. It looks like it was shot over years, though, for sure. Cause
it does.
That nigga Donald Glover had like 8 different hairstyles. I noticed.
He looks very different from the beginning of the show.
Definitely different. I was like, God damn.
I was pleasantly surprised because, like, when they were showing the trailers and stuff, I was like, I don't really see it, and especially comparing it to the movie. But then, show did a very good job. Have you finished it yet?
Not yet, but look, I loved Maya Erskine, or however the fuck you pronounce her name. So I told my girls, like, before we watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I need to get an introduction to her. And for some reason, Netflix was recommending this romantic comedy with her and Jack Quaid. Fantastic. Okay. Really good. Really good romantic comedy. Just
Jack Quaid from The Boys?
Yes, right? The Boys. Yeah. The one that everybody loves. Like, they're both really good in it. Ryden's really good in that shit, too. So
check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Don't know what it's called, but it's on Netflix. You know, just put in Asian woman and
Jack Quaid
search. Yeah, you'll figure it out. But that's it for the pod, guys. Please rate the pod 5 stars on all your DSPs. Please make sure to like and subscribe if you liked the episode. And that'll do it. Peace.
Laters.